What's up, guys? Welcome, 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 welcome. You're back with me again. Another day. Thursday. It is fucking Thursday. How's everybody doing out there? Everybody getting ready for the spring? I noticed all the lawn chairs are coming back, all the swimsuits. I saw all that stuff in the store a few weeks ago. You guys gearing up for that hot weather? I know out here on the West Coast in America, it's going to get into the warm stuff coming up. And then got to turn our clocks again. I know we're the only country dumb enough to do this too, where we turn our clocks and we fucking, you know, force ourselves to stay awake in the, out there for another hour so we can buy shit. That's what I think. I think that's just one of our quirks, if you will, as Americans. It's kind of, I don't know, man. Maybe we should just like not do that. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments. What do you think? Should we eliminate this daylight saving horse shit? Does it really make a difference if we're up an hour earlier, hour later, sleep once, 1 hour, lose an hour? Anybody like even think about that shit? I don't even know. Well, this episode that I put together, before I do all that, a little PSA. If you like this podcast, if you like what you're hearing, if you like my rants, presentations, whatever you want to call it, my gift to your drive to work and back from work and while you're mowing the lawn, things like that. If you like what you hear, if it at the minimum, it entertains you to a degree, then by all means, you know, subscribe. Hit the share button, notification button. Tell your friends. You can write a review. I don't mind getting good reviews and bad reviews. I mean, I've said many times I'll read it on the show. You know, if you guys write some good ones and some bad ones, if you guys really write some nasty ones, I'll definitely read those. You know, and by all means, you know, if you're on your Apples or your Spotify's, give it a 5-star, give it a 4, give it a 3, give it whatever you think I am worth. And, you know, help push this podcast, you know, up the old ladder, as they say. The second thing is, I got to pat my brother on the head there and give him a little pat on the back. Because I feel in some way like I have created created something special. You know, he's got more talent than I do. He's always had more talent. And whether it be in music and business or what have you, he just seems to have the extra genes, you know, in that space. And not that long ago, I had been yelling into a microphone and putting it out organically, if you will, for years. And then one day I invited him on and, you know, he caught the bug, I guess you can say. And I, in some way, you know, put the microphone in his face, and I'm proud of myself for doing that, because what has happened since is he has created a top 200 podcast, depending on what country you look at, on Apple and Spotify. He has a string of guests that are starting to flood in. And his content is very, very informative. It's very, you can very much learn something from it, very much take something from it. And you can share it with your friends, you know, things like that. And that is what is separating him slowly from the pack, is because there's a lot of podcasters out there in this space that that yell and scream their opinions, but they don't really add anything to the discussion. And my brother has begun to separate himself by adding to the discussion, by putting information behind the claim. And that's stuff you just don't have very much in the space, especially in the government political genre that he is diving into. And I just gotta say, you know, double pats on the back for him. If anybody is interested in continuing to drive his podcast up the hill, and then go listen to World Ablaze with George Fonts. Go buy him a coffee. I learned not that long ago he registered to buy a coffee, buymeacoffee.com or something like that. Go buy him a coffee. Make sure it's a shitty Starbucks, you know, but while you're at it. And I think it's well deserved. And I hope it continues to grow, and I hope that it does continue to do well. And even more well than it is now, I guess. Having said that, you know, I tip the hat from the goose to World Ablaze on that. And now for my bullshit. Huh? Yes, yes. Episode 113, or if you've been following me for the last decade, this has got to be episode 300 at this point. But let's keep the train rolling. Because I read this headline, and I just thought, you know, what a silly thing. All right, so Zelensky has been attempting to get on Trump's good side. So here's the headline from The Guardian. Kiev's White House wooing implodes as the truth is told about Donald Trump. Okay, let's run through this article by Julian Borger, and let's find out what this mysterious truth actually is. Let's dive in. Why not? Okay, here we go. All the effort Kiev had expended in wooing the White House. Now, if you're not a geography major, Kiev, I believe, is the capital of the Ukrainians. Combining flattery with bribery and a share of Ukraine's minerals, imploded in minutes when Vladimir Zelensky broke in the fundamental rule of the new global reality. He told the truth about Donald Trump. All right. I'm sure we're going to have to go through like 50 paragraphs or some shit before we get to it. But all American allies, the great majority of Republican leaders who have bowed down to him, and a good number of his own cabinet members know full well that Trump is trapped in a disinformation bubble. But Zelensky said it out loud at a press conference on Wednesday. So he's in a disinformation bubble. That's the big oopsie daisy there. All right, let's go. Let's keep going here. In this new world where the foreign policy of the most powerful country on earth has been rapidly reorganized around the fragile ego of a sullen and resentful old man. Is he really resentful, though? Is he sullen? Okay, first off, why do we keep attacking the Donald Trump like this? It's hilarious to me because we all know Donald Trump. We've known Donald Trump since he got that loan from his dad and he turned into a $1 billion empire. We know all about Trump stiffing people on the job periodically when he didn't like the terms of the deal. We know of Donald Trump's bullshit. So why are we trying to diminish this guy of things we already know? It's very weird. You might as well launch missiles at Americans' eastern seaboard as utter a few words of rebuke. All right, so rather than launch missiles, just make fun of them. Okay, all right. Zelensky was aware of this. Yes, because this stand-up comedian is a fucking genius all of a sudden. On Tuesday, he had complained that his country was being excluded from talks about its fate between U.S. and Russia in regards to the war. All right, so the Ukrainians have not been included in the initial conversation between U.S. and Russia in regards to the war. And Zelensky has said, we are talking about Ukraine, but without Ukraine. Well, let's just say it like this. When other people are paying your bills, I don't think you have much say in how things are going to end or how things are going to go. And I'll leave it at that. Of course, you know, the article agrees, calling it a fair point. What happened in Ryada was an upending of Western policy towards Ukraine. But none of that matters anymore. This is year zero as far as Trump, Elon Musk, and their supporters are concerned. The Ukrainian president's gripe triggered a meltdown in Mar-a-Lago, where Trump told stunned reporters that Ukraine had started the war and that Zelensky had a 4% approval rating. Now, we know that's not accurate, obviously. We know they didn't start the war. We know that his approval rating is not 4%. And not only do we know that, the article is going to tell us anyway, but I'm going to skip that paragraph of them fact-checking Trump because we know it's not true. We know that the confidence rating for Zelensky is somewhere in the high 50s, and we know that the Ukrainians were just, you know, hanging out, playing, you know, Tetris and shit and staring out into the sun when the Russians just kind of walked on over. You know, like, we know that is the truth, right? So let's skip that paragraph. I don't really care about the Guardian's fact check. All right, skipping down. When slighted and sprayed with Trumpian falsehoods, other world leaders with much less at stake have resorted to a smile and wave strategy, deflecting direct questions and changing the subject to some aspect of relations with Washington that is still functioning normally. Zelensky did not do this on Wednesday. Instead, he said out loud the bit that European leaders have kept quiet. Trump, he observed, is trapped in his disinformation bubble. He has stated the obvious, but not even Zelensky could have known how fetid the air inside Trump's bubble has become. Now we know. Because he slapped Zelensky twice and insulted him, that gives us an idea of how bad the air is in the bubble. And okay. I don't know. I'm not really a massive genius, but so far reading this article, I can tell you that this person hates Donald Trump, the writer, and these little minor jabs that were taken at the presser against Zelensky is being blown up here like it ain't nobody's business. So, on Trump's own app, True Social is a distillation of the greatest hits of Russian disinformation from the past 3 years. He said Zelensky was a dictator without elections, something Trump has never said about Putin, who had hoodwinked the Biden administration into a $350 billion war of choice, which Trump could fix. The president's repeated references to himself in the third person and all caps erased any lingering doubts that the single unifying compulsion now driving Trump's foreign policy is it's all about him. Okay, now I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to get to the meat of what I'm getting at here. So from the beginning to this point in the article, we are talking about how terrible Trump is and he's in his own bubble and everything's all about him. And these two little insults that are obviously not true are are a sign of his inability to function normally. Okay, so the references is about him being in himself and only Trump could fix. The real question is Trump actually wrong? Now, that's always been the thing. Now, Zelensky has been a panhandling bitch for 4 years. Now he's in year five and he's hoping to get more money. And you got to remember that there was millions of dollars that went to Ukraine right before Biden left office. You got to remember that these numbers are in the billions. Now, it's probably not $350 billion. It's probably less than that. But the overall point is that the U.S. has been paying most of those fucking bills. Now, we all know that the elections are hard to do in a time of war. So Zelensky getting a little mad about that. But I don't mind the jab because Zelensky has been like this lost, abandoned dog following everybody around, waiting for someone to pay attention to him. And quite frankly, he's worn out his welcome. And Trump notices this. And his mission is not to continue this war. So there's somebody that's not coming to the table, and that's Putin. So how do you get Putin to come to the table, guys? You know, this is not rocket science. You want Vladimir Putin to be at the negotiating table. So you diminish the competition and you praise the other guy and get his ass in the seat. That's the goal here. And then we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly while we're there, but there's no secret to what is happening here. Zelensky is a panhandling bitch. Zelensky isn't much of a guy, isn't much of a leader, or as much of a ruler, in my opinion, in his own country. And on the other side, you have a guy who's been entrenched there for decades at this point. And he has had some losing aspects of the war, but he's continuing to fight. He's been threatening nuclear action most of the war. And how do you get that guy to the table? You make him feel good. You make him feel comfortable. You have to get his ass in the seat. How do you end this? There's no other way to say that. You have to get his ass in the seat. Now, a lot of these other Europeans, leaders that have been talking shit about this type of tactic and how they're saying he's in bed with Putin, and a lot of our media members too, and foreign media members have said this as well, don't understand what is happening. And I don't think they've ever understood Donald Trump in the way he's worked in life. If you wanted to build a golf course and you needed five people to approve it and one of them was a holdout, how do you get him to the table? You tell him he's the smartest man ever. You tell him he's God's gift to earth. You tell him without him, we won't know how to put sprinklers in. I mean, what the fuck? Whatever it's got to be to get his ass in the chair to sign on the dotted line, that's what Trump is doing. And I also know that Putin is not an idiot. And he probably knows that. So at the end of the day, if the goal is to get him to the table, I don't care what he says about Putin positively, as long as his ass gets to the seat. And another thing, dude, we're talking about other leaders stepping up and shit. I mean, it's been almost 4 years, right? Let's go through the list here of European leaders for a second. Current members of their leadership. And let's see which one of these clowns would step up and handle shit. It's been 3.5-4 years of this war. We're approaching the fifth anniversary. Are we really going to trust and have faith in this group of fucking circus acts? I mean, France, Emmanuel Macron and Prime Minister Elizabeth Borne, like those two jackasses who just criticized J.D. Vance, who who spent years criticizing the United States, and we're gonna rely on them to close the deal? What about German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier? Is that fucker gonna handle business? I don't know. I don't think these guys are, none of these guys, and King Charles is too fucking old. He probably fell asleep. Sergio Mattarella in Italy, the president out there, is he going to handle business? Or is the prime minister, Giorgia Maloney? Is that person stepping up? King Philippe in Spain? I don't think so. Poland is the, this group spends a lot of their money on defense because they understand that they have to defend themselves, and they can't rely on anybody but themselves. Everybody else is a bonus for sure, but are these guys going to end negotiations? They hate the so from my I can tell they hate Russia, Netherlands, Sweden. I mean, any of these fucking guys going to handle it? I doubt it. So who do you think should? If you're not going to step up, who's left? The one country that has been spending more, you know? I mean, we just established earlier in the week that Europe can't take a couple of harsh words without filling up that old diaper, yet they will solve the Ukrainian war? Get the fuck out of here. These guys, it just doesn't happen. So spending more, the guys spending the most money should have a say at the table, should have skin in this game. They should, right? I mean, the U.S. alone, through various things, military, financial, humanitarian, complete dollar amount adds up to $175 billion. The 25 countries together has spent $266 billion. Together, and not all of them have committed to the military side of it. It's all humanitarian, most of it. Think about that shit for a minute. One country against 25, and they are less than $90 billion short in matching contributions. How fucking sad is that? That 25 countries can barely outspend the U.S. in this area. I mean, how terrible is that? How embarrassing is that? And this is all stuff that came out of the usnews.com, by the way. So it's like, what's worse is of those 25 countries, only Germany and the UK are providing weapons. That means 90% of all weapons are coming out of where? The fucking USA. That's absolute horseshit. That's bullshit. We don't even live in the area, and we come by all the time. We're like the stepdad, man, when it comes to child support and shit. That's what we're doing, because these fucking babies can't step up to the plate. They can't handle their own business. They can't sit there and come together as 25 strong nations and defend themselves. They don't even have that ability. They rely heavily on the United States of America to military aid, financial aid, humanitarian aid, all that shit. And it's fucking ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it shouldn't be this way. It really shouldn't be this way. Just like it shouldn't be this way in our own fucking country. Why is Kash Patel not confirmed yet? Why are so many of the nominees being held up? Like, what is the game we're really playing here? You know, it's like they say that they don't need the Democrats, that can just vote through. If that was true, then this shit wouldn't be happening, right? But it's the other way around. Because there are so many avenues that these fuckers can take to hold up nominations, because you have to get out of committee in order to get to a full Senate vote. And the reason that Patel has had so much trouble is because in committee votes, he doesn't get enough votes to get through. And I know he just this is just insane to me. I mean, the options that they use are the filibuster. We all know that is requires 60 senators. That requires 60 senators to snap the filibuster, and a filibuster is you just extend the debate forever and fucking ever by staying up all night. And you need 60 votes. Well, the Republicans have 53. They need 7 Democrats to break that, and they don't have the 7 Democrats because they all stick together. And then, of course, they can call for a quorum, which delays proceedings by forcing the Senate to confirm that a majority of senators are present, which is insane. That holds shit up. They can block unanimous consent. Many senators' actions require unanimous consent to proceed by objecting. Democrats can slow that down. They also do committee hearings delaying. Nominations need to pass through committee, and Democrats can use hearings and other procedural steps to delay those processes. These are just some of the many fucking cards that the Democrats can play. So when they sit there and they talk about how the Republicans can do whatever they want, they have a majority. It's really not true. We've established that throughout this podcast that they don't have that ability because of all these mechanisms that the liberals can pull to delay and delay and delay and make everything even fucking harder, because then you have less time to do your job. And of course, this isn't my the Republicans play this game too. And they've done it with a Biden's Secretary of Education nominee. They did it with the Associate Attorney General nominee from Joe Biden. They held up the Office of Management and Budget nominee. And I mean, all of them, for the most part, end up getting confirmed. It's almost like some big fucking game that these guys all play. And it's a game that is very tiresome, and it really slows down the progress of the country. And we really end up not going anywhere for the first year and a half, because the other side doesn't want the other side to have any sort of control or any kind of victory dance, because it would just be beneath them. And if you listen to anything Jasmine Crockett has to say, the whole fucking world is just going on under. A lot of this is sad, it's disheartening, it really annoys me. But that is the world we live in, and unless we know what to say or we know how to solve it, we're just going to keep going down that fucking rabbit hole. So, having said all that, thanks for listening. Appreciate each and every one of you. Like it, share it, subscribe to it, tell a friend. Go visit World Ablaze with George Fonts. Later! I want to break your soul.